History is a neglected and scorned subject in schools today. This is a deadly mistake. Learn how God uses both secular and biblical history to steer the course of individuals and nations. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. American college students are abandoning the study of history, according to Hal Brands and Francis Gavin in WarOnTheRocks.com. And they say it's a very disturbing problem, and it is very dangerous for the entire nation. Why is this so dangerous? Why is historical ignorance so dangerous? Well, many authorities believe that history is our most effective teacher. And yet, here we have people getting away from that, and in a historical ignorance that these writers say is very dangerous. And I agree with that, because it leaves you in a kind of a selfish present. And history should be a guiding light. And I'll illustrate it with one point today. But these people, according to the authors, or these historians, are inward-looking. They've gotten wrapped up in themselves, and they're sort of writing for each other and not for their nation and even the whole world. Here's a quote from their article. Similarly, after the Vietnam War drove a wedge between government and the academy, historians tended to shun constructive engagement with policymakers in favor of a more confrontational approach premised on speaking truth to power. They came to regard presentism, or the present, using the past as a way of addressing the challenges of the present, as a distortion of the historian's task. Now, in the past, it's been just the reverse of that. But they wrote, history wrote one prominent historian, a stinging indictment of the relationship of an earlier generation of intellectuals to the federal government. Cannot the first instant be concerned with navigating of the ship of state? But I'll talk to you about a recent example of Winston Churchill in World War II, who navigated the entire Western world through his history, which got him into being the Prime Minister of Britain. And then he guided the Western world with his understanding of history. He navigated the entire Western world. And yet these people are saying, hey, history shouldn't have anything to do with that today. I think you can begin to see why it's dangerous, because Winston Churchill was said to have, by many historians, including William Manchester, that he saved Western civilization. He saved Western civilization. Now, we know that God had a hand in that, but nevertheless, he was a man just absolutely steeped in history. And what a powerful tool it was in his life and in the whole Western world as far as saving our freedom. These writers also said, as a recent chair of a prominent history department recently explained to us, the discipline of history does not consider exploring and understanding the decisions of state leaders or military officials to be interesting, important, or innovative. Now, it's not even important. History is not even important. No wonder students are abandoning it. But these writers and many other very powerful historians tell you that is extremely dangerous for this nation. Extremely dangerous, and we need to understand why. But look, the history departments don't even study into the diplomatic and military history. That has plummeted as well. So what they're really saying, and what we need to understand, is it is actually a nation-destroying direction that we're headed in. And in not only that, and it can in many ways destroy a relationship with God Himself, because God tells us to study history. And I'll show you a scripture proving that in a moment. But I want to discuss two kinds of history today, secular and Bible history. Both of them lead you to an understanding of Bible prophecy, if you really desire that. But in Ezekiel 3 and verse 17, God says to a man, son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. So God made a man, a watchman to the house of Israel. The prophet Ezekiel wrote this about God's watchman, and yet he was not a watchman. He was in prison, and he was speaking and writing this over 100 years after Israel had already gone into captivity. So this book tells you throughout, that is the book of Ezekiel, that this is an end time book. Secular history alone is limited, though. We also have to understand Bible history and combine the two, and that will lead you into understanding Bible prophecy. This is critical. Notice Ezekiel 33, verses 1 and 2. Again, the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman. So here is a case where the people are taking a watchman. Not God, but the people. If you look at our history in these latter days, there really is only one man that could have fulfilled this prophecy here in Ezekiel 33. He was chosen by the people. He was a political leader, and he was chosen by the people after a strong warning throughout the 30s, telling them what was coming upon the Western world and upon their own country, Britain. He was a great secular historian, and that is why they chose him, and there really isn't another example in these latter days like that. So it has to refer to him. I absolutely do believe. Nobody else has fulfilled these scriptures. But then it goes on to talk about, through verse 6, talking about this watchman. But then God changes that, the whole process here, and says, okay, now this is where the people choose a watchman, but notice what he says in verse 7. God says this, So you, O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. So here you have something entirely different. God says, well, now in the last church era, the very end of the age, God says, I'm going to choose the watchman. It's not going to be people choosing the watchman. I'm going to choose him, and I'm going to tell them that it's going to take more than a political watchman to save them this time. It's going to take repentance before God to save them. You can see that in verse 11 here in this chapter. So to become a watchman, you need to understand Bible history. You also need to understand secular history if you're going to become a watchman for the people. So secular history and Bible history are both critical if the person really wants to understand. But it says in verse 11 of Ezekiel 33, Say unto them, As I live, says the Eternal God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God is saying, look, this is now dealing with Bible history and Bible prophecy, and the death of nations are at stake here as well as they were in World War II, only here it's even worse. This is getting into World War III. This is another phase of our history, and certainly it's all about Bible prophecy. But notice verse 33 of this same chapter, and when this comes to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. So here, God has a watchman combined with a prophet, which means he understands history, and he understands Bible prophecy, and he has to speak for God. And it says here, it really means, behold, it comes. the Sansino commentary says, or behold, it is coming. It is coming. God wants us to know that we're in this history right now. We're in this history, and these watchmen have to understand history, either secular history or Bible history, but the prophet has to understand both of those so he can warn Israel. As Winston Churchill warned the Western civilization during the 1930s, throughout that decade, he warned them. Now, Winston Churchill was not a religious man, but he did say that there is a purpose being worked out here below. He could see somehow there's a purpose of God in all of this. So God could use him. If you just have a good understanding of secular history, it shows that God can use a person like that because he knows how to direct a lot of what's going on. And especially when you're facing a challenge like warfare, like fighting a war. William Manchester said that this man saved Western civilization, and other historians think that of Winston Churchill as well. And yet, even though he's the greatest example we have in these latter days, we have pushed that history aside. And that's almost suicidal, because he was such a marvelous example and we can learn from him. But we can learn a lot more from God's watchman who knows what God wants and what God is doing and what God is commanding of him. That's what we need to understand. But nevertheless, you can see that Winston Churchill had great vision, and that was because he understood history. He was steeped in secular history. And you learn so many lessons that way because history is such an effective teacher for us. That is critical to understand. But you can just look at his deeds and see that that example of his is one we ought to be looking to and understanding. And he was almost alone. He also had great courage along with that. But let me read to you what he said. And this is a quote of his from Martin Gilbert. There is nothing new in the story, he says. It falls into that long, dismal catalog of the fruitlessness of experience and the confirmed unteachability of mankind. Want of foresight. You see, we have a lack of foresight. Well, Winston Churchill didn't have a lack of foresight. He was amazing with his foresight. So good that many people called him a prophet. And he got all of that from just understanding secular history. He was not a religious man, but he did believe there was a plan being worked out. But anyhow, he goes on to say, want of foresight, unwillingness to act when action would be simple. In other words, they could have stopped Adolf Hitler if they had have acted when he just began pushing Europe around. But nobody would do anything. And he talked about they're no wake up until the jarring gong strikes them. These are the features which constitute the endless repetition of history. The endless repetition of history. I mean, when you look back at World War II and 60 million people were killed, that is a grisly past. And surely, if we can learn lessons about how to avoid that, we ought to be really interested in that. That was the bloodiest catastrophe this earth has ever experienced. This world has ever experienced. And the best example we have to learn about that in secular history is from Winston Churchill. He had foresight. He knew what was coming, and he kept telling his nation and warning them that Adolf Hitler and Germany were about to attack Europe and destroy Europe. And his people were talking about disarmament and being very peaceful so they wouldn't agitate Adolf Hitler. Well, he just took advantage of that and wrecked the whole European continent. Churchill could have prevented that if they had listened to him. But they did not. The media didn't. The educational system didn't. The educators didn't. The same is true today, you could say, when it comes to looking and following history. But anyhow, people get into a kind of a comfortable routine. He added, I do not feel that people realize at all how near and how grave are the dangers of a world explosion. They just weren't aware of that. And here he was, an outsider, telling them that a world explosion was coming, and was there ever one coming? He said he just immersed himself in history. He said, I devoured Gibbon, and not Gibbon alone, but Macaulay and Leckie and all of these other historians. He just devoured that history. And he really knew about history and what lessons we should learn from history. When he, after all of his warnings came to pass, the people said, hey, this is the guy we should be using as prime minister. Because he was steeped in history, he could do all that warning before World War II and lead them during World War II. How much value is there in secular history? And, well, I want to get to another part of it, but Bible history as well. It is leaves you very authoritative, and they have said of him, Cominger, one of his biographers, said that knowing that history actually made him prophetic, because you can take history and prophesy from it to some degree. I'm talking about secular history, of course. You absolutely can do it from God's history, and that's what we need to really prove. Secular history is limited because God says, the way of peace they know not. This world does not know the way of peace. It never has. Mankind never has. They've always been striving for peace in their own way, and they end up having war every time. So we have to get into Bible history. I want to talk to you just briefly about the former prophets, which is a look at the Bible history of Israel. And you can prove that. The former prophets are comprised of the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And it's really about the history of Israel. Here's what I wrote in that booklet, which is really, could be called a book. It's a pretty good sized book. And we send all of our literature to you free if you request it. But it says here, there is a special message in all the former prophets. They are mostly about history, but they are called former prophets for a reason. The word former simply means that they are earlier prophets, but they were written by prophets. That's the big difference. The prophets were the historians in ancient Israel, not priests, not anybody else, but the prophets wrote the history. And if they wrote the history, you can be sure it was prophetic, because that's the responsibility of a prophet. His job is to prophesy and write history. In the Old Testament, anyhow, that was certainly the case, and it is in these latter days as well. Same process is working. But you can read example of Joshua and how he took them into the promised land and learn all kinds of wonderful lessons about how to lead a nation. He led them successfully. But then you get into the Judges, and that's the bloodiest book in the entire Bible. Was that way because everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Judges 21 and verse 25. And it's repeated in Judges 17 and verse 6. And that is exactly what's happening in America and Britain today. Everybody's doing that which is right in their own eyes, and we've never been more divided in the history of our countries. The same is true of the Scepter Nation, the Jewish nation in the Middle East. But they're called the Scepter Nation in the Bible. So, You can really learn so much from Bible history, and that's what this is all about. These books talk about David. That's the longest biography in the Bible, is about King David, And he was a man after God's own heart. And if you think you can't learn from that history, well, I mean, you can have a tight, wonderful, inspiring, successful relationship with God and a great success in your life if you follow his example. He was a man after God's own heart. Well, how did he become that? Well, these prophecies tell you, teach you. And what a wonderful lesson it is. And I wrote, it is a history that in most cases also becomes prophecy. For example, it shows how the state of religion in ancient Israel revealed the state of the nation. Look around. Can you learn a lesson from that? Well, have you noticed the state of religion in America and Britain? Well, let me tell you, it's not good. We may think it is, but it's not. I'm talking about religion right out of your Bible and looking to these words and prophesying and like God wants us to and teaching these prophecies. Who teaches prophecies like this today? Where do you find anybody that does that? Look, the life and death of nations are at stake here. That's what God tells us very clearly. And I hope we can understand that. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 says, "Now all these things in the Old Testament happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." See, these former prophets are, all these examples are for our learning and our admonition. God admonishes us to pay attention to these examples of history. You follow the good ones, you succeed. You follow the bad ones, you fail. It's like comparing David to Saul. Why was David so successful? Why was Saul in the same history so terribly unsuccessful and such a failure? Well, we need to know. We absolutely need to know. And look at what Christ said in Luke 24 and verse 25. Here's what Christ said. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." The prophets did all that writing in the Old Testament because it's filled with prophecy for our day today. Most of it is for this very end time we're living in right now. And this is wonderful history. Christ goes on to show them where he is mentioned in prophecy. Now, he really was teaching them from history. Prophets wrote the Bible. Prophets prophesied. And we need to understand about these wonderful prophecies because it can change our whole life and it can fill us with inspiration. And in this booklet, I don't have time to get into this, but in my booklet on the former prophets, I'm telling you, they use sources in there and books that you've never heard of, like the prophet about Iddo. You ever hear of him? Probably never heard of him in your life. But they had major sources that they went to. They mentioned booklets throughout their history writing here, and many of them you could never find. They're not available today, but they got the history out of them that they needed, and they put it in the former prophets. And it's for our learning. God says we ought to learn from the example of these men. These were educated men, and Samuel had colleges. Elisha and Elijah in these same books had colleges where they taught the very word of God and the prophecy of God. They understood secular history, and they understood Bible history, and it led them to understand Bible prophecy. That's what this is all about that I'm talking about. I'm telling you, it leads you right into the most wonderful ending that you could possibly ever have. See, this it's often called Hebrew history because it is the Jewish Bible, the Hebrew Bible. But look, it's not Hebrew history. It's God's history. It's God teaching us these valuable lessons. And he says the whole life and deaths of nations are at stake. Now that is something we really must learn or we're going to suffer terribly. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
History is a neglected and scorned subject in schools today. This is a deadly mistake. Learn how God uses both secular and biblical history to steer the course of individuals and nations. God concluded the Old Testament with an inspiring message about the Key of David and about raising the ruins in our vast universe. It is far more relevant today than any time in mankind's history. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Book of Chronicles, for a masterclass in positive biblical history. Too many historians today focus on negative aspects of history to try to degrade certain individuals and nations that were largely good. In writing the biblical Book of Chronicles, Ezra the scribe focused primarily on the positive aspects of David and his kingly line, which will endure all the way to the second coming of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. In the original order of the Old Testament, Chronicles is the final book. It forms the perfect bridge between the Old and New Testaments, between the most important royal history and the vital prophecies of our marvelous royal future. Also request Gerald Fleury's free book, The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. The biblical books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings form a section of the Old Testament called The Former Prophets. These books record the stunning history of the biblical heroes from Joshua to David and everyone in between. Their stories are better than any work of fiction, but this history is not just for your entertainment. It contains life-saving lessons for you. This is the most relevant kind of history, the history that is also prophecy. Learn how the course of history is altered by specific individuals and how you can be a part of making history with God. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Gerald Fleury's writings, The Book of Chronicles, and The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Gerald Fleury's writings, The Book of Chronicles, and The Former Prophets, How to Become a King. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.